This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Cincinnati is known for its hills, and those hills can mean landslides spilling onto roads and wreaking havoc on homes. Now the city is getting an infusion of cash to mitigate the impact of landslides in 10 locations. Joining me to talk about the problem and the projects designed to address it are City of Cincinnati geotechnical engineer Chris Hammond. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Lucy.
And Cincinnati Director of Grant Administration and Government Affairs, Morgan Sutter. Thanks for being here, Morgan.
Thanks so much for having us. We're excited to talk about this win for the city.
Yeah, we're excited too. Chris, the City of Cincinnati has gotten this federal funding for 10 landslide mitigation projects, as I understand it. Where are these projects located?
Well, they're scattered throughout the city. There's 9 different neighborhoods, I think, that'll be serviced by these. Some are between a couple neighborhoods and major connector routes. And others are a little, some dead-end streets even, that could be totally cut off if the landslides become more active.
Yeah. What are some of the problems this money will be used to address?
Well, there's 7 landslide projects and 3 wall projects. All of these are projects that have been on the city's radar for a number of years, but maybe don't rise to the visual impact that affords the funding that we've been seeking. So with the bipartisan infrastructure bill and this PROTECT grant, which is designed to improve transportation network resiliency, we were able to identify those projects that we've been unable to fund for years, but that could have a major impact if not improved.
Yeah, we're going to talk about those impacts, but Morgan, how much money are we talking about?
Well, we did request upwards of $12 million, and we were really pleased that we received 10. That is a big win, as Chris indicated. And some of the interesting features of this particular grant are that it allows us to do this pre-disaster work. So that is really hard to find. We recognize that most relief sources of funds that are available are really designed to address the post-disaster cleanup or the relief efforts where there have been casualties or massive property damages that need to be repaired or replaced. So this preemptive work, we think, is going to really set the tone for future funding opportunities, and we can demonstrate that this is going to have a really big impact on our network and increasing resiliency and climate resiliency within the city in some really vulnerable areas. So the impacts cannot be overstated.
Well, Chris, talk about what problems this money will be used to address and how serious they are. Do some of these fall under the category of landslides on the verge of happening? Is some of this to kind of get in the path of landslides that have already started?
Yeah, most of these are projects where we've identified slow movement over the last 5, 10, sometimes even multiple decades. But as those problems progress, we tend to just make patches, with what we have as available funding. Money often gets diverted to larger impact projects or other city priorities. And in this case, though, a few of these projects have a very real potential to impact large utilities and major thoroughfares, which could be very problematic. But some others are on the more rural streets that have just either been, I wouldn't say ignored, but that we haven't been able to address the way we'd like to. But those also have the potential to become very disastrous for the local property owners if they can't get through to their properties.
Sure. It's got to be tough because when you've got limited funds, you've got to prioritize what you're going to do with that money.
You do. We're plugging leaks a lot of times. And in this case, we're able to make repairs in advance.
Mm-hmm. That's right. If I could add on, I think that the Department of Transportation Engineering, you all have responsibility for managing something like $5 billion of assets throughout the city. And it is an astronomical number. We've had a lot of conversations about deferred maintenance and what the city's priorities look like to be able to address those competing priorities. These projects in particular, again, we have a unique funding opportunity to do pre-disaster mitigation work, which will bear cost savings over time, and it will improve resiliency. And 7 of the 10 of these are in populations in neighborhoods where we're finding socioeconomic distress and transportation vulnerabilities already exist. So the implication to those residents and commuters using these connectors would be devastating if there was a landslide. It would really cut off access to childcare, access to health care, access to a job that is someone's livelihood. And we are really trying to prevent those type of disruptions in these neighborhoods.
Yeah. We're talking about landslides and the work the city of Cincinnati will be doing to stabilize roadways, retaining walls, and hills. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. What are the causes of these problems, Chris? I know there's more than one.
Yeah, well, you know, the city of Cincinnati is a relatively landslide-prone area in the nation, in the world. And that's due to a combination of geology, topography, and man-placed activities or activities that have come about in the development of the river valleys that we're in. So, often the trigger to these landslides, then once you have all of these processes in place, the trigger is often water. And, as we see increased storm intensities and there's additional development that taxes the infrastructure that's in place, we've seen a increase in the cost, in the frequency, I'd say, of the landslides, and they've resulted in significant costs over the last 6 years. We've spent over $43 million in the city of Cincinnati addressing multiple landslides.
Wow. And that's probably on the big ones that we all see, like Columbia Parkway and, some of those roads that so many people use where you can just see hills coming down at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct. Yeah. You've seen some of Columbia Parkway. Riverside Drive had a major landslide that, although it wasn't particularly visible, it could have had a major impact to waterworks facilities. Mm-hmm. So,
through the course of preparing this application, it was really telling that most folks are associating these type of natural disasters and these weather-related events with coastal areas. And Cincinnati hasn't necessarily been recognized consistently in Washington, D.C. as having these really unique problems. So we learned that we have among the highest per capita cost associated with landslide rehabilitation and restoration work associated with those failures in the country. And that's not great. We have been really working through these problems without a whole lot of outside assistance and without a lot of outside attention. So I know there are groups here locally working to elevate that message. We are doing the same to raise awareness and bring that to legislators so that it, again, reaps funding opportunities for us to bring to bear here locally to address these problems.
Mm-hmm. We got an email from Nicholas. Nicholas emails, what area of Cincinnati is prone to landslides? Are other areas in Ohio prone as well? That's probably a pretty long list, huh, Chris, in terms of Cincinnati?
Yeah, obviously it focuses around the hillsides. So along the Ohio River Valley and up the Mill Creek Valley, those are the most prone areas.
Mm-hmm. And is Cincinnati one of the more prone communities in Ohio, as far as you know? Are there other parts of the state that have a lot of landslides, too?
It is one of the more prone communities in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And nationwide.
Yeah. So how much, you were talking about, Cincinnati has this topography. We have all these hills that are beautiful, but also can be a little problematic. How much is the topography a factor in this? How much is climate change a factor? And what about the city's, historical land use practices, where roads are built, where homes have been built? How do all those factor into creating these issues?
Sure. Well, the business of geotechnical engineering or the practice of geotechnical engineering is relatively young. It was never a specialty till maybe 100 years ago. And so many of these areas were developed prior to the specialization in geotechnical engineering and maybe the understanding of how to prevent landslides when you do development and build roads. So, since the 1990s, the city and county have put in place a number of regulations that do control future development or current development. But we're mainly dealing with problems that were created, 100 plus years ago or before a lot of the understanding more prevalent.
Mm-hmm. I do think, though, that there's a clear association between wet weather, prolonged weather, again, as Chris indicated, having a greater intensity of these wet weather events, and how that affects landslide movement, hillside movement, and retaining wall failures.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So climate change is clearly an important factor in this, and I'm sure that was an important part of your grant application, too. What about impervious surfaces like parking lots? Do those factor into landslides? I don't know if that was something you dealt with in your grant or if that's something you've been dealing with, Chris.
Certainly increased runoff is a factor. Current development guidelines tend to control and do a good job of controlling runoff quantities so that it's not a direct correlation to landslide activity. But again, I think most of this is trying to catch up with previous development practices that have created these situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, development practices that, as you said, kind of predated the science of what you know now.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, we're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. And later in the program, we'll discuss why Ohio could have a larger influence on climate policy than you might think. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about landslides in Cincinnati and a series of projects designed to mitigate their impact. My guests are City of Cincinnati Geotechnical Engineer Chris Hammond and Cincinnati Director of Grant Administration and Government Affairs Morgan Sutter. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or by emailing talk at wvxu.org. I want to ask, I'll let either of you answer this. What are the threats to drivers near these locations? What about for residents and homeowners? I know earlier in the conversation you said this is really about getting ahead of these problems before there are these, you know, disasters that happen. But who'd like to start with that? Maybe, Chris, you can talk about sort of how fast these things could cause problems.
Yeah, most of the landslides that we deal with in a city are not very rapidly moving, but they have the potential during a large, intense storm event to close roadways, damage utilities, in which case, once that's initiated, there's no going back. So while they may not be an immediate the hazard where you have soil falling on top of cars and you see these dramatic videos, and I think that's part of the reason we've had trouble funding these projects. These are slow moving, but they have a potential to be a huge impact, particularly to people trying to get to and from their houses and their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you said that really well, that these are not necessarily posing an imminent threat. The benefit in us pursuing this unique funding is, again, that we can do this prior to a catastrophic failure. What we want to incorporate in all of our grant applications, and it has been made possible through, as Chris indicated, the bipartisan infrastructure law, the funding that came down from President Biden, and is allowing us to use federal funds in creative and new ways, such as this, to really drive equity and resiliency within our neighborhoods that are otherwise vulnerable. And this type of project, these specific list of projects, do reflect that type of decision-making where we're acknowledging that there would be an outsized impact, a negative impact to the households, to the residents and commuters that are along these corridors. And so we want to be able to take proactive steps and not just keep doing patches and little Band-Aid type of solutions.
Mm-hmm. Are there homes that are particularly in the path of this or kind of where they could have real problems if this work doesn't happen?
So this specific set of projects and our work at the Department of Transportation and Engineering is isolated to the roadway and the infrastructure, the sidewalks, mm-hmm. bike paths, and stairs.
Yeah. So you just have to write a different grant for that other stuff, right?
That's exactly right. We're really aware, and I know that there has been a lot of work, again, by others in this space to elevate homeowner issues and vulnerabilities that others are facing living adjacent to these. And when it becomes private property, there are other resources that we're trying to avail ourselves of to solve those problems. This is surface transportation specific. So we're making headway.
There you go. How is the city going to use this money specifically, Chris or Morgan? I don't know who wants to jump in on this. What do these projects consist of? Is this a lot of You know, you mentioned some retaining walls. What goes into to making these fixes?
Yeah, so there are going to be, you know, a number of steps, and these projects will develop over the next 2 to 4 years probably. Hopefully we can get some of them started sooner. But you have to, you know, there may be some roadway or some acquisition of land that's necessary to do these projects. Then we have to go into design and bid these construction projects. So there'll be some time, but, you know, generally a project from beginning to construction could take about a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some of these have already been initiated. So we have some of the pre-work completed.
Yeah. Again, we're talking about landslides in Cincinnati and some projects that are in the works to try to address that problem and mitigate the impact. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Morgan, you mentioned the city got $10 million in federal funds. I know these projects are going to cost a little bit more than that. Where will the rest of the money come from to make all this happen?
That's a really great question. And we have to consider these type of concerns, right? Where does the rest of the money come from when we're making an application to any government agency? There is generally a cost share expectation. And so we had assumed that we would be continuing our fundraising through other potentially state agency grants, other local funds that we might be able to have, or city capital. And so we expect to keep cobbling together resources both to meet the federal cost share as well as to identify funds to fill the gap. We, again, are hopeful that this funding program, because it was new through the bipartisan infrastructure law, we are hopeful that this will demonstrate the value of this mitigation funding and that we can continue success, perhaps going back to the same program for future projects as well.
Yeah, because it sounds like you're really trying to be proactive. You really want to get ahead of as much of this as you can. Chris, do you have a long wish list of other projects around the city that if you could get a big old check from another big old check from the federal government, you'd like to address?
Absolutely. Yeah, we pulled together 10 of our, I guess, more long-term problematic situations, but we certainly have a long list remaining.
Yeah. What are the next steps with this, Chris? You mentioned that there's a lot of planning that goes into this, possibly some property acquisition. What comes next with all this?
Yeah, so we've only been informed that we were awarded this funding. So we still have to be given directives directly from the Federal Highway Administration on how the grants are administrated. So once we hear from them, it'll be that process of beginning the design process, and then from there we'll go into construction. Again, some of these projects are a little further along because we've been planning them for a number of years anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any idea when work will start on any of these?
It's possible we could get one or two of these started by the fall.
Okay. Wow. What are there any of these projects that you'd like to maybe highlight, talk about a little bit more in detail? I know there are 10, so I'm not asking you to pick your favorite child here. I know that's a bad question.
Yeah. Now, you know, one of these is another section of Columbia Parkway, 2 miles east of where we did the work a few years ago. You know, people are kind of familiar with that process. But another one of these on the west side is Hillside Avenue, and it's actually our largest financial request, about $2.5 million. And that's a long 5 mile plus or minus stretch of roadway from near the western city limits into town. And you know, for 30 or 40 years, we've been patching small areas of this road, but it still rides like a roller coaster because of the numerous patches that we've had in place. So yeah, we've identified 6 to 8 areas where we intend to fill in the gaps, if you will, with additional walls.
So. Yeah, I imagine riding like a roller coaster is not your goal when you're an engineer in this department.
That's not what we like to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sad reality.
Right, right. Well, and Morgan, you had mentioned that some of these projects are in areas where residents have challenges in other ways, too. Was that an important part of kind of picking which areas you were going to be focusing on with these grant dollars?
Yes, it is important to highlight that we internally evaluate project locations that are going to be equity-driven and produce equity-driven results. And there are screening tools that we use that are created by various funding agencies, including U.S. Department of Transportation, that help us to produce an analysis of which project or which project area might yield an environmental justice resolution or produce some type of additional socioeconomic impact or access to an opportunity area. So we really do consider equity and that lens when recommending a portfolio of projects. And each of those contributes to the competitiveness of the application as well.
Do you all have partners that you work with on things like this? I'm thinking the Hillside Trust has been very involved in these issues more as they relate to homeowners and that sort of thing. But how much do you collaborate with organizations like that when you're looking at these problems?
I can take the first crack and then maybe Chris, if you want to chime in. From my perspective, and in the grant administration and government affairs role, absolutely the work of these parties is informing and influencing us having a greater awareness of where these acute problems are and how we might be able to intervene or access other resources to try to solve these issues. So their work, both communicating with us as the city administration, as well as communicating with Mayor Aftab or City Council, it's very helpful and informative to us. Often, these types of grants are really only going to be made available through a relationship with a state agency, or another really great feature of this is that this came directly to the municipality. It's something that we could apply for directly from the federal government. That's always preferred. So in this case, they couldn't be a co-applicant necessarily, but we are taking the work that they're doing and recognizing, again, that they're trying to elevate awareness, and we're building off of that research and off of those communications as well to highlight the critical need for these type of resources here. That's happening both in the grant application as well as in the government affairs space. So prior to this being made available to us through USDOT, I had been briefing Representative Greg Landsman as well as Senator Sherrod Brown frequently to indicate and inform the need for these critical resources and our unique position here in Cincinnati. So that work was very helpful in informing those conversations and making sure that we stayed top of mind when funding opportunities like this are being formulated and being delivered.
Mm-hmm. How helpful is that? Are those other organizations to you all in your department, Chris? Do they help you kind of, I mean, I imagine you've got eyes all over the place, or you try to have eyes all over the place as much as you can.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, you mentioned the Hillside Trust. They were supportive of this, and in fact, a letter of recommendation included in the grant application. So, yeah, our community partners are a big part of this.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, how you mentioned that some of these projects are projects that you've gotten a little bit farther on. How will the city prioritize which of these projects on this list will be started first?
I'd start them all tomorrow if we could. So it's not a matter of priority. It's a matter of what steps need to be taken to get them to construction.
I see. So everybody's kind of on different places on the around the bases or on the starting line or whatever.
Yeah, on some we've already done some of the investigation work. We have, and some we may not require additional property to build the project. So those projects will probably move forward quicker, mm-hmm. but it's not a matter of priority. It's just a matter of timing.
Okay. Anything you want to add about that, Morgan? You probably want to see them all get done all at once, too.
Absolutely. I really do. But I think that was really well put. It isn't a matter of priority. We really want to see all of these done. And it is going to be a function of process as well as when the funding is made available to us.
Great. Yeah, that you have to cash that check first.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking with City of Cincinnati Geotechnical Engineer Chris Hammond and Cincinnati Director of Grant Administration and Government Affairs Morgan Sutter. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Lucy.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Up next, we'll discuss why Ohio could have a larger influence on climate policy than you might think. This is Cincinnati Edition.